Thank you, Father, that you are ever faithful and that you hear our prayer and that by the Spirit you understand the deepest groanings of our heart. And when it seems like that's all that we have, you hear it and you bless it and you keep us in your name and in your presence. Amen. So flipping back to Matthew chapter 12. Jesus finishes verse 41 and he says, "Something greater than Jonah is here." We keep reading into verse 43 and we hear the same, verse 42. So we read that in verse 41 about Jonah. Then we read to verse 42 and he says the same thing. So in verse 41, we read, "Something greater than Jonah is here." In verse 42, at the end, we read, "Something greater than Solomon is here." So we spoke about Jonah and the men of Nineveh. Now Jesus goes on and he brings in two more characters into this story, into this rebuttal towards the scribes and the Pharisees. And he begins with the queen of the south and Solomon. And in order to dig into this further, we have to flip back into the Old Testament, into the book of 1 Kings. And we're primarily going to focus on 1 Kings chapter 10, but we're going to get into chapter 3 a little bit as well. But to understand first where Jesus is going with this, we need to go to 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. And the queen of the south here we find is the queen of Sheba. So, reading along with me again, we see this. "Now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a great retinue, with camels bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind. And Solomon answered all her questions. And there was nothing hidden from the king that he could not explain to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his officials, and the attendance of his servants, their clothing, his cupbearers, and his burnt offerings that he offered at the house of the Lord, there was no more breath in her. And she said to the king, 'The report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom. But I did not believe the reports until I came and my own eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told to me. Your wisdom and prosperity surpass that report that I heard. Happy are your men, happy are your servants who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. He has made you king, that you may execute justice and righteousness.' Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and a very great quantity of spices and precious stones. Never again came such an abundance of spices as these that the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon." Solomon was King David's son. He was 20 years old when he became king. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 to 14, we read about Solomon and his prayer for wisdom. And I want to leave with you 1 Kings 3, verses 5 to 14. We're going to only read verses 10 to 14, because I want to just make a quick account of what it is that God had done for Solomon and why it is that Jesus refers to him in this matter. So if you're with me, 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 10 to 14, and it says this: "It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this for wisdom. And God said to him, 'Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall rise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. So the word of Solomon's wisdom and greatness reaches the Queen of Sheba. And the Queen of Sheba just has to come and check it out. She hears these reports of this king and how he is blessed and what he is blessed with. And she can't leave it alone. So she packs up some amazing things to bring along as a gift. But she goes with the intention to try Solomon out to see if what people are saying is really real. Is this guy really as wise and understanding as what I've heard? And so she has brought with her a number of questions to test him. It says to test him with hard questions. And it doesn't say if they're personal ones or anything like that. It just says that she has these hard questions that she wants to ask him. And she sits down, and I'd imagine they're sitting at this one-on-one meeting, probably their servants around, and they're going through all these questions that the Queen of Sheba had. And as we read in 1 Kings 10, there was nothing that was held back from Solomon. He was blessed and given wisdom, as we read in 1 Kings chapter 3. God had bestowed this upon him, and he was able to answer everything that the Queen of Sheba had asked. He could give her understanding in all these things. And she beheld everything that he was blessed with, and she seen just the countenance of the servants and how blessed they were and how everybody was living in the fullness of God. And I believe that to be the truth, that everyone was living in the fullness of God because God had blessed Israel with an amazing servant king who loved him and who had a heart for him. And what I love is the ending of verse 5, and after she beheld everything that she had seen, there was no more breath in her. Her breath was taken away. She stood there in awe, like, oh, I cannot believe the love that the Lord has for you, that he has blessed you and given you all of this. And she's seen through his sacrifices just how great his faithfulness was to God. And she stood there in amazement. So she came and seen for herself. She beheld it all of Solomon's splendor, and all that God had given him. And the amazing thing is that she only heard half of what it truly was to be in Solomon's presence. And that half that she heard was enough to get her to pack. And Matthew says, the Queen of the South, and she came from the ends of the earth. I didn't do the research to see where the Queen of Sheba was from, but I want to say Egypt, but I'm probably wrong. So I'll leave that for you guys to find out. But she packed, and it says, like, never had King Solomon ever seen so many spices ever again. Like, how many spices is that? And then 120 talents of gold and everything else that she brought just to bless him. So she packed what she thought would probably be a fair gift for Solomon. But I think that if she really knew, because she only understood half of it, she probably would have brought more stuff, thinking that, okay, this really needs to be amped up a little bit. But she only heard about half of his glory, half of his wisdom, half of what Father had done for him. And so to think, when we behold, and I'm going to turn this a little bit, when we think about the people we look up to, maybe our favorite musician or our favorite actor or so on, the opportunity that if we were given to go and meet them, like, we would be ecstatic, we would be thrilled, we would, you know, who knows, we would maybe bring a poster or a book and have them sign it, and that would mean the world to us. And here we see the Queen of Sheba doing the same thing. It's like, man, this guy must be almost like a a superstar, we'll say, for the lack of better terms. And out of her fandom, she's going to go and find this guy and see exactly what it is that he has and what Father God has done for him. So, going back to Matthew chapter 12:42. The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. The men of Nineveh will rise up and condemn because they were converted by the word. Something greater than Jonah is here. Something greater than Solomon is here. The words of Jesus. Jesus, who is greater than Jonah in word and greater in wisdom and stature than Solomon, stood in their midst, and they were deaf and blind to it. Their eyes and their hearts were darkened because of their love for self, their love for the law, their love for their own self-righteousness, the love of their stature. This was greater in their life than the word and the life of Jesus. And because of this, they asked Jesus for a sign, because what they were beholding, they couldn't understand. And so Jesus told them, look, hey, you know, what you have right here in front of you is greater than Jonah, is greater than Solomon, is greater than the word that was preached to the Ninevites, and greater than the stature and the glory that was given to Solomon. And, you know, in that day and time, people were saved and people sought out other people for their glory. And I'm standing here in your presence, in your midst, and you are so blind that you can't see and understand that you are asking me for a sign. And he says, okay, so the only sign you're going to get is the sign of Jonah. But they asked for a sign. And he wouldn't give them something then. He wouldn't do something to, I guess, pronounce the fact that he was the Son of God. He said, okay, this is what you're going to get. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, the Son of God, the Son of Man, will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. You've had your sign. Not just that your sign stands right in front of you, right in front of your face, and you're blind to it by your own reflection and your own good deeds and your own self-righteousness. You can't see the splendor of Jesus. You can't hear or even feel the call or the need for repentance, because your skin is so thick that you can't begin to perceive what is right in front of you. So what do we take away from this? If the word of God, through an unwilling servant like Jonah, can be used and fruitful to save in that day, in Jonah's day, the vilest of sinner, the persecutors of Israel, and not just one, but a whole nation, how much greater is the Word who became flesh, the Son of God, Jesus himself, who dwelt among us and has given us this, than the words that Jonah preached? Something greater than Jonah is here. If this wisdom and splendor of God imparted to a man here on earth is so perceived by another human here in this physical realm that it takes their breath away, how much greater is the Son of God living in the fullness of the Father, not being bound by simple riches, but the fullness of God here on earth? Truly, something greater than Solomon is here. And Jesus wasn't boasting. He wasn't being proud. Jesus was speaking the truth, a truth that the audience needed to hear, but they were so hard-hearted that they couldn't understand. So what was Jesus saying? I think he was saying this. You look for a sign, but you wouldn't even recognize it. So why would I waste my time? People of old have heard and beheld less than me, and their lives were changed, so that on the day of judgment, when you get what's coming, those people are going to stand up and say, "How could you be so blind? How could you be so deaf? How could you be so foolish? How could you be so deceived that you couldn't understand what you were beholding in your day, in your time?" The very presence of God, what kind of sign did you need to be slapped in the face with? What would have really changed your heart? And I think that the Queen of the South, Queen Sheba, and these men of Nineveh are going to stand there and shake their heads and say, "Man," and I think they're going to use the same words as Jesus, "You evil and adulterous generation, what are you guys doing? What is going through your mind?" We turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. And we see Paul writing here to the church, and he says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." This comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Knowing as Jonah did the attributes of God, how God is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, being gracious and merciful, relenting from disaster. I think Jesus desired and still desires for all of us to come into the full knowledge of his existence, his love, and his sacrifice for all of us. That we could be freed from self and bound to him. As bondservants, as Paul calls himself a bondservant, being willingly surrendered to Christ. Abiding in him and living in his fullness, which is the fullness of God. To open our blind eyes and our deaf ears. To soften the heart of stone. To tear down the walls of separation. To remove the shame and the guilt and the fear. Because where the Spirit is, there is freedom. That's where freedom is, in the Spirit. And if you're living in the flesh, you're not living in the Spirit. This is not new. If you're living in the flesh, you're not able to be transformed into the image of Christ. And you're not able to be transformed from one degree of glory into another. The sign of Jonah. Jesus being buried and in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. I think that was Jesus's final word on the matter, as far as if you don't see what you're looking at right now, then maybe when this happens and you think back, maybe that'll be enough to change your hearts and your minds. Maybe that'll be the words that Jonah had to speak. That'll be the final word in your repentance. When you see this come to happen, then you will know that I am the Son of God and I am who I say I am. And that's what Jesus, I think, was really driving home to them. Because you evil and adulterous generation are looking for something that is right in front of you. And I wonder sometimes, how often are we so focused on self and the things going on around us, this circumstances we're in, this new normal, this sitting and waiting, that we have forgot that Jesus is right here. Jesus is right here. And Jesus is in the people around us. And if we forget or we neglect to see that, then we lose our hope and we begin to look for a sign. And when we don't get that sign, do we get frustrated? Are we living more for some kind of fulfillment in our lives than seeing the fullness of God in our lives? Has our thought and our desire become skewed in our circumstances? Are we living in the life and the love that Jesus lived right before our very eyes in his word? How does our heart sit? Are we looking for a sign, or are we resting in his grace? Let's pray. Father, your love is enough. Your grace and your mercy, they abound and they overflow. Our cup runneth over. Just as Solomon's wisdom and all of the things that he had overflowed, where people couldn't even speak of the fullness of what you did for him so that people could understand. They could only understand half. And Father, I wonder sometimes if we only see the half of it. We don't see the fullness of your greatness in our lives because we haven't committed ourselves to see and to understand. And I ask, Father, that by the power of your word and through your spirit, that you would rend our hearts to the place where we would turn to you and we would seek your face, and that we would get to live out the fullness of your life here on earth, that by your spirit that we would be turned into your image and that we could be your reflection here on earth. So, Father, we need you to come and do this for us. Out of ourselves, we find that we are an evil and adulterous generation, looking for signs rather than living in the truth that you have already imparted to us. Father, you are enough. May you just reveal this truth to us, that we could live in your fullness. We thank you for your grace and mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, where you're willing and able, please kneel with me. Thank you again, Father, for all you have done for us. Amen. So, we're getting into the end of May. June is right around the corner, and we've been in this now for so many weeks, and the days all blend into one. But one thing that I hope never changes is that we become so relaxed in our lives that we forget to seek his face. And we become complacent in our spiritual lives to the point where we have another day. Everything's just blah. And we become so set in our routine of being relaxed in our life that we forget to know and to understand what it is that God has done for us. So keep up your spiritual life. Keep reading, keep praying, keep studying, keep meditating. Don't give up on that. God is faithful to finish the work that he has started. And I think that we need to be faithful to give ourselves up so he can do that work in us. So I want to leave you with this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, and to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. And with that, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, now and always and forever. Amen. Go in peace with the Lord, everyone. Have a great week. And just continue to live in his fullness. Love you. Miss you guys.